Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. We are looking at before Paul today, to this morning here. There's a bunch of folks that follow Paul. And you always have to be careful talking to people that get the initial seed looking to Paul's stuff, because they can get on the internet and they can find a Paul church right off the bat. I mean, they're all over out there more and more, because all they do is they teach grace. And then there's just that, that's all they do is just teach grace, God's grace. And it is even the dispensation of grace. But because they just teach Paul so firmly and then just grace only, it's wrong. It's still a wrong way to go to Paul, because Paul also teaches that the risen Christ gives us some things that we should do that would please God, and it's the right thing to do for testimony and not cause other people to stumble on all that kind of stuff. But they will be the first to tell people that you don't need to read the rest of the Bible, and they really do tell them that. I mean, they say, you don't need to read the Old Testament. It's over with. It's kaput. You don't need to read the Gospels unless you want to read about how he died, that type of thing. But they don't get into that. And then they totally ignore the rest of the Bible, too. They just get right into Paul's stuff. Unfortunately, they also ignore Timothy and Titus and Thessalonians in some ways, because there's some things in there that you shouldn't, that you have to watch your walk over. And the Timothy and Titus ones are written after he was in prison. So they don't consider that anything inspirational from God, which is what he was doing in prison and a little bit beforehand. And they also have a hard time with Corinthians, because Corinthians is where he teaches how to speak in tongues and all that kind of stuff. So they still picking and choosing. They're going just by the doctrine. They're just going by grace only. So 1 Corinthians 10:11. This is where Paul says, now all these things happen. He just got done talking about some Jewish history there a little bit. 1 Corinthians, I guess I better find 1 Corinthians chapter 10 here. I got so much. I'm back to that bad habit of I want to just lay the bucket out today. And I said I was going to do this slowly, but probably not going to happen. Get the notes later. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now, what was that? If you go back and read 11 there. Moreover, brethren, I wouldn't that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized under Moses. And he goes down through a good little Old Testament history right there. Just a short little history. And talks about the fact that in verse 7, all that they were doing, it says, neither ye be idolaters, as were some of them. So we can learn how not to have false gods, you know, as far as any kind of a direct sermon out of that thing, by looking back at Israel. So that's what he's talking about. We can still learn these things by looking back to the Old Testament, but we don't look back to it for example. He says in Corinthians, they're ensample. An example is something to copy, and an ensample is something to learn from. So we have to watch for that. So if we were to go back and do the Old Testament, just in a general thing, which is very difficult to do, I had one comment, then I had two, then I had four, and I had six. And before I know it, we could have done a one-month study again easily, still generalizing over the Old Testament. For example, Genesis chapter 1, creation. People still need to learn about creation. In fact, Paul is even more specific. He tells who was it does the creating in Ephesians. The Lord himself, Jesus Christ, he was there. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, he was the one. Ephesians 3, 9, Colossians 1, 16. So see, Paul is necessary for creation, but you still got to go back to chapter 1. Where did sin begin? Genesis chapter 3. How about all the stuff about the flood of the world? That explains why you have seashells at your cabin up in the mountains, because of the flood. You go back to Genesis 9 and 10, and you got the three races. Well, who cares about the races? Well, nobody anymore. But if you study music, by going back to Shem, Ham, and Japheth, you can find out exactly what's going on in music today. Genesis 11. Suddenly people had to go to school to learn foreign languages. It was a problem, but they tried to build that tower. You get to Genesis chapter 12, and you got Abram. You got the beginning of the Jewish crowd. Then you got the Jewish and the Gentile thing splitting from there, which is very important to learn. So the Old Testament is all about whose history? The Jews. And that needs to be learned. Look at Romans chapter 3, if you would. Romans chapter 3. We see that, I left out Moses here. Now, I've got the word law, but not the word Moses as such. So you get into Moses, and you've got the law. The law was established, and it says, Paul says in Romans 3:19, now we know that what things soever the law saith. Well, how do we know what the law saith if you don't go back and read what the law saith? So we can't ignore the Old Testament. It saith to them who are under the law. And even during the Paul's time, in our time, if they want to go to the law, they better know what the law is. And they don't. That every mouth may be stopped. That's what the law will do. It'll show them that they're a sinner. And this is why guys go out in the streets and they do their preaching and stuff. They want to show them that they're sinners. I won't bunny crew on that thing. Talked to the guy yesterday, but anyway. And all the world may become guilty before God. So if we stick with that message, see, people are going to miss the goodness of God. That's what Paul talks about. So you've got the law in the Old Testament. You've got the Levitical law. You've got the Big Ten. By the way, Paul doesn't preach the Big Ten. He preaches nine. Which one doesn't he preach? Which one doesn't he teach the people? The Sabbath. So right away, we got to be aware of that. Then we got the whole tabernacle design and the purpose of the tabernacle and all the different places in the tabernacle physically match us spiritually. And God's presence was in the Old Testament, was in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies, and that kind of thing. And he had the priesthood that was a big deal. You got blood sacrifices that had to still be paid. And when those people made those sacrifices and they died, then they got to go to Abraham's bosom into paradise until the blood of Jesus Christ was actually finally shed. Then he went down, he took them up with him. And this time they came back, and all that kind of stuff. Beyond me, really, a lot of that stuff is pretty odd. If you go far enough, you look at all the different leaders, all the different kings, as we kind of call them, and you end up with Jeconiah, who Jeconiah says there'll be no more seed, male seed, on the throne, which prepares everybody for the Messiah, for Jesus Christ, because he's going to come without a man's seed. So it all has to be read. You've got Nebuchadnezzar in there. You've got the type of the Antichrist. You've got Daniel with prophecy that's going to still come, which matches up with Revelation. You've got major prophets preaching what God told them to say to the people. You've got the minor prophets that are going around saying the things they do. There's miracles, signs, and wonders. Why? Because they're Jews, and Jews had to see things. Didn't work, but they had to see things all the time. Habakkuk 2:4. What's the importance of Habakkuk 2:4? Also, Habakkuk 2:4, who knows what that's all about? Just pop it off real quick. They had to live by what?
Their own faith.
And when they quit, they quit. Same thing within the Gospels. When people got tired of Jesus Christ, they didn't like what he said about eating his body and drinking his blood, they left. They quit. So, talked to a man the other day from Wisconsin, and he was having a discussion with his pastor. He says, I believe that you can lose your salvation. And the pastor said you can't, and was teaching him. I says, okay, Brian, how did he teach it to you? Because you can't lose your salvation. Tell me how your pastor presented it. Well, he went to the book of John and he went to Hebrews. And Brian said, I can show the pastor in Hebrews chapter 6 that you can lose your salvation. Isn't that what that means? I said, yes, it is. Oh, okay. But I had to show him rightly dividing. And now he's all fired up for Paul rightly dividing and the whole thing, because now it makes sense. But you can't go to John, because in John they could quit. So yeah, it makes it look like you can't. But that pastor is going to John to make it look like you can't quit. This is a bunch of confusion, Brian. So anyway, they were justified by their faith in the Old Testament and Gospels, and they could quit. We go to Galatians chapter 3, and we see that the law is there for the schoolmaster. It'll lead people to the fact that they're a sinner and that they need Jesus Christ. So there's a purpose for the law. There's just so much in the Old Testament. We don't say Paul only and skip the rest of the Bible. That Old Testament is very important to read. So we encourage people to read it and study from it. We just finished 2 years of a study going through the Old Testament. What's in there for us? Nothing's in there to us, but it's all in there for us. 2 years we did that, and we could have gone another year, because you remember how we started? We did Genesis one Sunday. We did Exodus another Sunday. By the time we were done, we were doing one verse in the Gospels. We could have done that thing for years, but we didn't. So that's the Old Testament. Now, look at Hebrews. Now I'm not going to say where. Where do we go in the New Testament? Where do we go in the Bible to find out where the Testament begins? Where the doctrine for the New Testament actually really does begin. Where do we go for that? Got to forget we're trying to do it. Hebrews, I gave that away, yeah. Hebrews 9. So we go to Hebrews chapter 9, and we realize that the New Testament doesn't begin until the death of Christ. Death of Jesus, put it that way. So when we go back and look at the Gospels, and we tell people to read the Gospels, we have to remember that we're still studying them back to Old Testament doctrine. Jesus Christ was walking the walk. He had to fulfill the law. And because of that, people get into the Gospels and say, then we should do the same thing. And if we follow Jesus' footsteps, We will do that. And if you want to follow his footsteps, you'll have such a hard time. Honey, would you go to Kmart and buy that picture of the footprints in the sand? And that'll just encourage me to realize that Jesus will carry me through those things I'm supposed to be doing, and he'll have me do the very same things he did, and I will stop sinning, and I will be a good Christian person. And that's what you get out of the Gospels, because that's what they had to do with the Gospels. But the Gospels are still all about Jesus Christ, Jesus himself. Now, here we go. So that's Hebrews 9:16, is where that's at, the death of the testator, 9:16 and 17. And if you can get this far with somebody to show them that fact right there, Shoney, at school or anything, kid, anywhere at school, any friend, you don't want to get in this, just show them that one. I can't imagine they've ever heard that before. You know that the New Testament doesn't really begin until Jesus died as far as the doctrine goes? Oh, I didn't know that. So that'd be fun when we get going. Kind of a lunch stopper, a little bit for you. 1 Timothy 3:16. So now we look at the Gospels this morning. This is all before Paul. 1 Timothy 3:16, this is where God was manifest in the flesh. And godliness is a mystery. It says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. How do you do that? I don't know. Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That's quite a thing. That's what Christianity, the religion or whatever Christianity is, godliness. It's not whether your skirt's long enough, your hair's long enough, and your ties are short enough, and your men's hair is short, and all that kind of stuff. That's not godliness. Godliness is defined right there. And I kind of use the word, that's what Christianity is supposed to be. So when we wrongly divide and follow vain or profane and vain babblings, we're actually developing a false Christianity. Because it says, we'll increase unto ungodliness. Doesn't mean that we dress different, we act different, we speak differently. It means that there's a false Christianity being developed, an increase of a false of ungodliness. Okay, now let's look at that verse, 1 Timothy 3:16 again. That is a deity verse. One of the biggest issues in the Gospels was the fact was Jesus God, and if they came to believe that, that's what they had to believe. So whenever you're reading the Bible about it, in the Gospels about believe, that's what they were believing. Here's what an NIV Bible says, though, which again shows what they're trying to get rid of. NIV Bible says he appeared in a body. And they took out what? God was manifest in the flesh. So they changed God to he. That tells me that they don't like that and there's something going on. They want that out of there. And no, that's supposed to be God. We've appeared in a body. That's no big deal, to appear in a body. Who appeared in a body? I have no idea. Then you look at it grammatically, he is supposed to refer to somebody somewhere, and it doesn't. Antecedent, that is called. And there is none. So, who's he? So, whatever. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. So, the deity of Christ is a huge, huge issue in the Gospels, and it still is today. People just can't handle the fact that Jesus was God, manifest in the flesh. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. NIV says, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God to be something to be grasped. What does that mean? Did not consider equality with God, when it says right there, he was equal with God. So, that's a big deal. They're trying to get anything. They're trying to get rid of that deity. And what that is, if you look at Romans chapter 1, verse 23, Romans 1:23. Remember the whole string of list about lost people who do all the wickedness that they do and how they enjoy it? That comes about because what they've done is they take they change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and birds, etc., etc. They take God and make him like a man. They can't imagine that God would get rid of the law. Why would God do that? In fact, not only to get rid of the law, he walked the law. So if anybody could get rid of it, it would be him. And then he paid the penalty for all the penalties that were going to be meted out to people. Why would he do that? Well, he's God. We would never do that, but we're not God. So people have a hard time looking at God the way God says God is, because God can do those things because he's God. He's different than us. We don't think like he does. We don't act. We don't talk. We don't understand those things. But that's what they're doing. They get rid of the deity of Christ. They're making him just like one of us. In fact, if they take out only begotten, what does that make him? In John 3:16. Just another son. We're all sons. So he's just like us. And that's baloney. Okay, so that was the big issue. Look at Matthew 16:16. That was the issue in the gospel time. That is not the issue today, really. I mean, they've made it into an issue, but our salvation is not geared on believing that Jesus was God. I think that comes in the process in Romans chapter 10, but that's not our salvation like it was in the Gospels. Matthew 16:16. You know, Peter was asked, and Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's what it was. In fact, if you read a little further on there, that's where the church got started. That was what the church was founded on, was the fact that they had to believe that he was the Christ, the Jew, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And you go a little further down, by the way, and you see where Jesus tells him, don't go tell anybody. Bunny trail here. Goes down and tells Peter, don't tell anybody. What do you mean, don't tell anybody? Why not? Remember what we said about that? Why not? God was going to be the one that would reveal it to people. And that's where Calvinists, I got out talking with a guy the other day, that's where Calvinists get their start, by going to the Gospels to find out where God did the picking and choosing. And he revealed it to people. And so if he didn't reveal it to you, you're going to hell. So that's what they teach. It's just crazy. It goes against everything Paul teaches. Anyway, back on the trail here. Look at John chapter 16. But the Gospels are very important to read. I mean, it's more Jewish history. It's all about the law being fulfilled. It's about the apostles and the disciples and his other disciples, more than just the 12. They had hundreds of them. A lot of them left him. All sorts of miracles, signs, and wonders to get the Jews to believe. John chapter 16, verse 27. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. There was what they had to believe. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. That's what Jesus, that's who he was. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou comest forth from God. That's what they had to believe. A verse or two later, Jesus says, do you really believe? Because he knows they're going to still leave him anyway. So even though they believe, they still forsook him or forsake him or whatever. Look at Acts 8:37. You know, that's a great verse about baptism following salvation. But we know now that that isn't what that verse is at all. I used to say that the devil took that out of the Bible versions to show that baptism is what follows salvation. And that's not what that refers to at all, because our salvation is not based on what this eunuch believed. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Okay? And he answered and said, here's what he had to believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I got a chance to tell that to some guy the other day, and he just said, yeah, that's really what it says. I never saw that before. It's amazing. So that's the issue in the Gospels. Look at Isaiah chapter 9. The belief in the Gospels is a different belief that Paul teaches when it comes to one's salvation as such. I guess I could throw in John 3:3-2 in our little list of verses here about Nicodemus, I saith unto thee, ye, that kind of a thing. I suppose we could put that in there too. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, physical, and unto us a son is given, spiritual. There's the Son of God and the Son of Man. That's what they had to believe. And then you get into all the virgin birth things in Matthew and Luke, and those, that's what they had to believe, that he was God. Now, what's the issue today? Sure, the issue was real big, that Jesus was still just another prophet, another teacher, or whatever, not that he was God manifest in the flesh. But they carry that further now, because they don't believe this Bible is a holy Bible. They take the deity, they take the holiness out of this Bible. They got 300 and 400 different Bibles out there, and they all say the same thing. No, they don't. And besides that, one is sharper than a two-edged sword, the rest of them aren't. More than that, one is that which is perfect, none of the rest are. One is holy, and the rest aren't. One is the sword of the Spirit, and the rest of them aren't. One is the gospel of every salvation. It's the word of truth. None of the other ones are. And that's, see, they still have a hard time believing that. Very hard time believing that. Do they believe that that King James Bible is 1 Corinthians 13:10? No, but they ought to. How about Hebrews 4:8? How about 1 Thessalonians 2:13? Is that what effectively worketh in us to believe? That's what I believe. Ephesians 6:17. When you hear from Jesus Christ, you've been taught by Jesus Christ, he says in there. The mouth of God, I believe this is the mouth of God. It's face to face with Christ. It's the word of truth. It's what must be rightly divided. It's the scriptures that have the doctrine and the reproof and the correction and the instruction of righteousness. That's where all that's at. That's what we believe that is. You see, people won't do that today. Well, in Jesus' time, people didn't believe that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. He was the Christ. He was the Messiah. And they don't believe it today, and they don't believe that his words are in that are the King James Bible. So that's where they're at. Now let's go back to Matthew 5:17. Matthew 5:17. This is all before Paul stuff this morning. It's still there. It's there for our admonition, for our learning. We can't skip it. We don't tell people to skip it. We're just saying that the Old Testament, which includes the Gospels, are not to us. That's all. They're for us, but not to us. Talking with Jason and talking with Brian this last couple days, I just realized how important it is to have something online that just states the whole thing in this order. That's why we're doing this, understanding the King James Bible series. It's really what people need to hear, and we need to review it ourselves. Matthew 5:17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come to destroy. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill. That's why he came. One of his purposes there is to fulfill the law. Then we read in Romans chapter 10, verse 4, that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He imputes to us his righteousness. But see, you don't hear any of that except from Paul. So why do they reject Paul? They reject Paul, they don't hear about what Christ, not only did he fulfill the law, he did all the rest that Paul talks about. So if you skip Paul, you don't hear that stuff. And this is why people think that they can lose their salvation. Because Jesus just, I've trusted him as my Savior, okay. But can he put the check by your name, and then when you mess up, he erases the check. And when you do right again, he puts the check back on. I don't know why they don't get baptized again. You know, I mean, if you get baptized after you get saved, okay, so if you believe you lose your salvation, then you get saved again, why don't you get baptized again? I mean, really? They'll go down the aisle every Sunday and get all confessed up. They ought to go get the baptism again. Ask that to somebody. Anyway. Look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. Something else in the Gospels that people don't realize, I don't think. And again, you should have your Gospels all marked up and be ready to show people these things if the war ever comes along or the discussion ever comes along. Or if you're tired of talking about movie stars or some funny people or whatever, show them something in the Bible. Say, do you know all that? And just ask. It's right out of the blue. Hey, where are you? When do you think the New Testament really begins? What? I'm just for discussion. What do you think? Or why do you think Jesus came? Oh, we just don't want to talk about stuff like that. Oh, come on, let's talk about stuff like this. Kind of a fun thing. And don't have a 20-minute sermon behind. Just ask one itty-bitty little question, and they'll be surprised at the answer. Did you know that when Jesus was down here, he didn't even go to the Gentiles? He told those guys not to go to the Gentiles. Did you know that? No, I didn't know that. Look at here, Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. Then these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Whoa. Why is that? Well, he was to be the Jewish Messiah. And not only that, here's an even better one. There was a lady that came and had some serious issues in her life with her family, and he said, I don't talk to you. It was a Gentile lady. Look at Matthew 15. There's one for you. I remember how I looked at that and thought, whoa, that's really wild. Couple of years ago. That's really interesting. And Mark chapter 7, by the way, says it is a Gentile woman. So that leaves any argument there. Matthew 15 is 21 to 28. Verse 23, he answered her not a word. And he says in verse 24, I am sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She says in verse 25, Lord help me. And then he says, it is not meet, in verse 26, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Bark, bark. Boy, I'll tell you what, that's quite a thing to tell some lady. And yet it gets all fixed up by the time she's done with him. Because what she have? She had faith. Why? It had to be her faith. Habakkuk chapter 2 and 4, or else it's 4 and 2. I always get that mixed up. I think it's 2 and 4. So she had a good faith, so he stepped up to the plate. But that's not his. That was not his purpose at all. Isn't that amazing? Habakkuk 2 and 4, right? Isn't that amazing? And he said, "This, I'm not here to feed the dogs. Try that at school. You know, I'm a Christian. I go to Tuesday after church. I believe the King James Bible, the Word of God. I can't play with you dogs. Or you lost. You know, but you can't do that. That's not. See, we don't do that. That's there for us, but that's not there to tell us how to be. That's the Gospels. We get into John chapter 17, and we see that we read that. That took a long time for us just to get to John chapter 17. That's his final prayer before he goes and gets arrested. And he really says a lot of things about the people that God had given him. And he says, it is finished. But it wasn't finished. He said it was finished at the cross. But it wasn't finished. He had a lot to do yet. Had to go down to hell. Had to come back. Had to see Mary. And then had to go up to be with God for a second and take the payment of the blood. Had to come. It wasn't finished. These people that say it was finished at the cross. Let's all go back to the cross. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 15. There's so many things in the Gospels to learn about Jesus and Gentiles and Jews, everything. So many things to learn, but none of that's to us. None of that's. What about the Beatitudes? We're not told to do the Beatitudes at all. What about some of the things that Paul teaches that Jesus taught? Well, then we should learn them because Paul taught them. But there are things that Jesus taught that Paul doesn't teach, so then we don't need to do that. We'll get to that in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 8. There's a whole series of verses that are very important. But the key verses are 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. So Christ taught him this. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, which means the Old Testament. He was going to do that. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So Paul does teach the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. Well, of course he does. You see, people say that that's Paul's gospel right there, which takes that one little series of verses and then puts everybody all the way back into the gospels again, and then he teaches the gospels. That's what they say. We'll be judged by Paul's gospel. Paul's gospel is right there in those little verses right there, and then the rest goes back into the gospels again because that's what he's teaching. And don't forget that Paul preached the death, burial, and what? Resurrection. You don't get any resurrection in the Gospels. Paul's ministry is all about the resurrection and beyond, and the living Christ, the risen Christ. It just fits so well. Okay, now let's go back to Matthew 28. So the Gospels, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're there for a purpose, and we read those and we study those and this type of a thing. They're not to us, but they're for us there. Couple spots there for you to pop on some folks for some discussion. Now we go into what Jesus told the disciples to go out and do. Because he told them that in Matthew 28. Verse 16. Actually, verse 19 is what we really want, the detail of what he's told them to teach. But verse 19, go ye therefore, okay, so, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. I've heard pastors say, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then when somebody else comes along, no, they say that we should teach in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and then when somebody comes along to join their church, and they say, well, I was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they don't accept that baptism, and they got to get baptized again. That's how picky they get over this stuff. It's amazing. But anyway, that's what it says. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Okay, well, that's the command. And with you always, Lord, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. But if we go to Mark 16 and see it in more detail, He says in verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world. There it is, and preach the gospel to every creature. So I guess that means your dogs and goats. Have you been doing that lately, Grandma? You've been taking this stuff home to the goats? Next time you smash a bug, make sure you check if he's saved or not. You going to go to bug heaven? No answer? Now you know, that kind of stuff. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And I used to teach all the time, because it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Salvation is only based on believing, not baptizing, because it doesn't say he that believeth not and is not baptized shall be damned. It doesn't say that. So the baptism is not part of the... You see what I'm saying there? You've heard that. I know you've heard that. That's how we explain those verses. And I mentioned, I talked about this with this Jason guy. Again, this guy's all fired up, and he's going to get in trouble. I know he is. He's so fired up. And I said, well, ask your missionary friend if he does verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's pretty powerful stuff. That's, if anybody teaches a Great Commission, and they may say that they believe Paul and everything, but I've looked on their websites, I've looked at their statements of faith and their letters. We had a missionary guy come here a couple years ago who I showed him the stuff about Paul. He said, man, this just makes so much sense, da 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 da. Sent me his missionary letter, and it says for his verse, Mark 16:16. So I wrote the guy, says, what are you doing? I thought they just can't see. Verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, Acts chapter 1, and sat in the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. What was one of the signs these apostles received when they were out preaching what Jesus taught them? They were beat, hated, arrested, yelled at, mocked, spit on, the whole spiel. Talk about a sign. So we got people today that think because they were treated like they were treated, we should be treated the same way. So they go out on the streets and they go places and they do things so they can get spit upon, yelled at, and they think that proves to them that they're saying the right things and they're being godly and the whole thing. That's how they talk. Been there, done that, and all that stuff. And we see now that that's just not true. That's not right. I like it when it says they shall take up serpents. And you see these snake people down in Oklahoma and Louisiana, all those people down in Louisiana, and all that stuff, and they're not dead, but they're missing fingers. The whole spiel. You tell me that that's what we're supposed to. And not that one of those guys dies, you know. And they justify it because he had no faith, or he lost his faith. He watched TV the other night, and the snake bit him, all that kind of stuff. Just crazy stuff. Now, so those are the two places that talk about what? What's it called? Everybody calls it the Great Commission. I mean, that's Baptist, that's everybody anymore. That's where they go. Well, what is it? Jesus is your Savior. So there's his teachings. That's just what they believe. Now, where do we go to find the Great Commission? Now that we're out of the Gospels, we go to Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 8. Now, we've been over this study, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'd sure like to do it again sometime. Because, well, I'll tell you what. You want to read the doctrine of today. It used to just be Pentecostal churches. This is everybody's source of material today. This is where they go. This is where the Baptists are going. This is where everybody's going. They'll teach away the speaking in tongues by showing that it was a sign to the Jews, and the Jews seek a sign. We're not doing the sign. So they can doctrinally destroy speaking in tongues without sticking with Acts. But the rest of the stuff they do in Acts, they do today. They lay their hands on people. They think they can heal. They try to heal. They go to Acts chapter 2 for their church design, and they try to do those. They don't do 45, verse 45 of Acts chapter 2, because that means they have to give up everything. They got to give it to their pastor. So all your guns and all your furniture and your trucks and your vehicles and your four-wheeler computers, bring them in, and God will bless you. Got that, LD? We'll split it. Okay. We'll split it. I'm paying treasure. That's okay. This is where they get the stuff. And what they're doing is scriptural, but it's in the wrong dispensation. It's just that's how, no other way to put it. What happens in Acts chapter 9? Paul comes along the scene. So at 1 through 8, it's not to us. Those things took place. Look at, for example, look at chapter 2, verse 42. And it continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What are people teaching today? The apostles' doctrine. Look at verse 38. Repent and be baptized. That's what they're telling people on the street. The whole thing, 41 to 47, is their pattern. Why? They want souls added to their church in verse 41. 43, fear came upon every soul. Okay, so put the fear on everybody. Many wonders and signs were done. What are wonders and signs today? Well, we change our music and people will come. See, it works. See, it must be true. God's blessed us with all these people. See, we put a Starbucks in the lobby out there. See, everybody loves it. We do ours down here. Ours is more hidden. You got to make your own. I mean, that's what they're doing. If people come, it works. And they get that based on what? Verse 47. Having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily. And you go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, I think it is. What is gain to people today? Gain is godliness. So it all fits. But it's not the right part of the Bible. That shows the huge importance of rightly dividing. Look at chapter 3, verse 19. Chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Look at verse 20. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was preached. So they preached Jesus Christ. They preached the risen Christ. Isn't that amazing? They did what they were supposed to do. And if you read, look at verse 4, look at verse 13 of chapter 4. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of him, that they had been with Jesus. So we can preach that as a spiritual sermon. I can tell you've been in your Bible. Your life has changed. You've become very strong and bold in your witness, not in your mouth. Paul is very strong about being a bold Christian, but he's not telling you to go out there and just stand on the street corner and just be bold and loud. That's not what he's talking about. Public ministry is still fine. I'm not knocking that. It's just how they do it. Look at chapter 5, verse 12. Chapter 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Look at verse 11. Great fear came upon all the church. Look at verse 14. Believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes. There's one place in there 4,000, one place 5,000. People were just, they were getting the story. However, look at verse 18. And laid their hands on the apostles. And this was not a spiritual event. This was they went and arrested them. And you got to still, the doors were opened up. And these folks were really hassled. Look at chapter 6, verse 8. So you can read about the Great Commission. They did what they were supposed to do. It just they kind of shut it down here because in verse 6, this guy named Stephen comes along. And it says in verse 8, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And then he gets up and preaches this fantastic sermon. Historical thing. I mean, you want to read the history of the Old Testament to Jews to see how much you know and don't know, read chapter 7. He goes through it all. But boy, don't get mad at verse 51. He's not talking to you. Maybe he is, but I mean, that's not what the purpose is. He says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Boy, what a way to finish the sermon. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which shewed before of the company of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. We know Paul Peter told him that in Acts 2:38. And they recognized that. So what should we do? And he said, repent and be baptized. He says in verse 53, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. What a conclusion. Verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Don't even think about it. I taste horrible. But people talk about their pastors all the time. But that's, no, they gnashed on him with their teeth. They were, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast in heaven, saw Jesus standing, and there it is, it's over. The whole, we all say that it could have, yeah, I believe that that's true. Jesus Christ was standing, and this whole thing could have been continued, or they just shut it down. So then we get into, who do we have after this? This is where Paul enters into the picture. So there's what I just called the website before Paul. The Old Testament, the Gospels, and the Great Commission. All of that is there for us, but it certainly is not there to us. And I'm hoping that you've got enough notes on that thing that you can show somebody somewhere this stuff about, especially the Great Commission. This is where they get all that. This is where they get all the stuff about today's church and what's going on and Rick Warren, all that stuff. Just pray. Okay, take a break.